where were you last night? Because if you were in your nice warm bed, a hell of a lot of people weren't. Last night was the Newtopian Dream fundraiser, and 60 people slept out on the cold of Newtown Square, raising over $60,000 for the Newtown Neighbourhood Centre to keep them providing services for homeless people and people at risk of homelessness. Our usual brekkie host, Nick Healy, was one of them. He's still over there right now. Nick, how you doing?
I'm good, Tess. Thanks very much. Now, a little while ago, we heard from Marina, who's been someone who's had Newtown Neighbourhood Centre services actually help her find accommodation. Thought it'd be good to talk to someone who works at Newtown Neighbourhood Centre. I've got Misha Guaspari. He's team leader for the boarding house outreach project at Newtown Neighbourhood Centre. Morning.
Hi there.
Now, I've just checked it. We're a couple of hundred dollars shy of $70,000 on the Newtopian Dream fundraiser. What's that money going to do? Where will you spend that? How does that help you?
That's amazing that it's so high, first and foremost. But I guess one of the things that we do at the Boarding House Outreach Service, so we work with people who are living in boarding houses or people who have recently been evicted from boarding houses. The problem is people get evicted from boarding houses at the drop of a hat. You know, there was an act that came in 2012 that was meant to protect the rights of boarding house residents. However, it's really not gone far enough. A lot of people are still evicted with, like, you know, 24-hour notice. So, you know, the work that we do is a lot of advocacy around that. We also support people to take action, to go to the tribunal if we think it's a valid method of comeback,
right.
And we will. So I guess that money can go towards to our service to help those guys that are living in boarding houses. It can also go to our community strengthening team, and they do a lot of work at the front counter. So a lot of people will come in who are homeless, have a homeless issue, and will need support to either link in with other services, that, you know, that kind of wraparound system that seems to work really well, and get other services involved for people, and also refer into our service. So if they move into a boarding house, then we can support them further down that journey.
Because some of the stats you were saying last night about boarding houses, I think you said there were 600 in Sydney alone, with maybe 4,800 people staying in them?
Yeah, that's a rough estimate,
rough
I guess.
Estimate,
but
yeah.
If you think a lot of boarding houses, the average occupancy is 8 to 10 people. Some are a lot higher. You can get some boarding houses that have 30, 40 plus people living in them, some of the larger ones. But the average boarding house would have 8 to 10 people. And our last count in City of Sydney and Marrickville, I think there's at least around 600 boarding houses. So that equates to that number of residents.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I remember that you were also talking about sort of having to check the condition of the boarding houses kind of fairly regularly to make sure they're up to scratch. You talked about one that you went out to where the council actually suggested that the boarding house was in such a state it was an immediate risk to life.
Yeah, I mean, that was a pretty extreme case.
Yes.
But that's not to say that there are other boarding houses around that we don't know about that are in a similar disrepair. You know, that was locally, that was in the Newtown area, came to our attention when someone came into the front counter again with a note that said, with that notice from the council that said they were going to shut it down. So we went into we went into assertive outreach at that point and went out there, met with the clients, linked them in with housing, got housing to come to a joint meeting to assess where they were on the housing list and make sure that all their documents were up to date. We also then assisted them to find alternative accommodation in the area. A lot of them moved into other boarding houses, but not in such disrepair that this one was. You know, we went to see the place, and I've been working at the Boarding House Outreach Service for 4 years. I've seen a lot of really bad boarding houses, but this was another level.
I think that was amazing to me, because there's often this sense that once people are in some form of accommodation, well, that's great, you know, that's everything we needed to do. But clearly it's a bigger story than that.
Certainly is. Like I said, there's no security of tenure for people living in boarding houses. They can often be harassed or bullied by other residents in the boarding house, harassed by the landlord. There's some pretty unscrupulous landlords out there that will do anything not to update their boarding house or put like a new kitchen in or anything like that. So a lot of the kitchens are very old, not really suitable for cooking stuff. So people rely a lot on food services, food vans, that kind of stuff. Particularly, you know, people are on low incomes, and the average rent in a boarding house in the inner west now is closer to $100 a week.
Wow.
I would say. Like, there are some around 180, 180 mark, 180, 190, but there's a lot that are... That's a lot
of money on low income.
Yeah, yeah. The average new start, someone on new start would be, would get, with rent assistance, would get just around $600 a fortnight, and they're paying, well, $570 a fortnight, and they're paying, you know, they're paying $400 a fortnight on accommodation. That doesn't leave an awful lot of money for other things. They've got to buy food with that.
Yeah. And of course, you've got quite a strong community outreach program here, and you work a lot, I think, with a lot of collaboration with local businesses. You mentioned sort of a local pharmacy that helps out with prescriptions. And,
yeah, Ford Pharmacy, really good to our service. So they give free prescriptions for people, which is really a massive godsend when you haven't got a lot of money. And a lot of people have, you know, physical health or mental health issues that they need to take medication for. If they're paying $7 every time they have to get a script, that eats into that already low amount of money that they have in their pocket. So Ford Pharmacy has been really helpful with that. We work collaboratively with a lot of other services, a lot of NGOs. We have links with there's an NGO called Wajek that works with women and girls. And there's another NGO called CRC that we work closely with, and that's for people who are in custody or exiting custody into homelessness, which is a growing issue.
Yeah, I remember you mentioned that last night, that coming out of prison sort of almost straight into homelessness is actually this ongoing concern.
Yeah, it's on the increase from what we see on the ground level. Like, I've seen an increase in the number of people that are presenting to the service that have had like a recent stint in prison and have then come out. They're put into temporary accommodation, but that only lasts a few days, and then what do they do after that? So, yeah.
Well, I know you've got a busy morning, so thank you very much for your time this morning.
No problem.
For sure.
Yeah, all right.
And just a reminder, we're just a couple of $100 shy of $70,000 for the Newtopian Dream fundraiser. You can still get in support. You can go to the Newtown Neighbourhood Centre website and find a link, or you can go to 2scr.com and jump here. Let's try and kick it over to $70,000. That's me done. Back to you in the studio, Tess.
Thanks so much for that, Nick. Nick Healy there out in Newtown Square after the Newtopian Dream fundraiser. As he said there, so close to $70,000. Wouldn't that be an absolutely incredible goal? If you do want to head out to 2scr.com, follow the click-throughs. There's still time to get involved.